Last year at our Disciples Together worship, of course, it was a pretty sunny day like this, but we didn't have a whole bunch of rain right beforehand, and so we were able to meet at the park. And I did something a little different. I did something I'd never done before. I actually used the choir as a kind of a giant object lesson. Some of you may remember. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures here in a minute. But the object lesson itself was based on an idea from a guy that lived 1,500 years ago. And his name was Dorotheus of Gaza. And this was somebody's picture of him. He was the abbot of a monastery, which meant it was his responsibility to look after a whole bunch of monks. And this particular monastery, the monks weren't getting along very well. And they were kind of quarreling amongst themselves. And so Dorotheus got them together, and he sat them down, and he kind of gave them a little talking to. And he said, he gave them this illustration. He said, I want you to imagine that the world is a big circle, and God is in the middle of the circle, and that all people are on the circumference of the circle. In order to get closer to God, one must, by necessity, get closer to each other as well. That's how it works. And so my object lesson, since we don't have a big yard to do this in, is just to show you the picture of what we did last year. So I got the choir. They got in a big circle with quite a bit of space in between them. And as I talk, they move closer and closer to me. And I got to represent God in this scenario. And as they got closer to me, they got closer to each other until they were standing shoulder to shoulder. And then I had them kind of reach across like this and take hands. And when the time was right, I had them kind of unwind like this until they were facing outward towards the world. And for me, this represents one of the most beautiful and simplest illustration of what the Christian life is all about. First, we have a relationship with God that's kind of a vertical relationship. And the second relationship is our relationship with other believers. And the closer we become with God, the more naturally we're going to relate to others who are also on that same path. And then finally, we take what we've learned in both of those love relationships and we share it with the world. 3 years ago, we at our Disciples Together worship service, I introduced the theme for that year, which was experiencing God, that vertical relationship that we have with God. Last year, I introduced the theme for this year that we're just finishing, which was building community, which is that relationship we have with those who are also on the path of discipleship within the body of Christ, within the church. And today, we're introducing a new theme, which is sharing the good news. If you think about Jesus' own ministry, you realize that this was kind of the pattern that he followed. He began his ministry in Nazareth, and his very first sermon was really short, really simple. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It has drawn near. Repent and enter into it. Enter into that relationship with God. Allow God to be the sovereign, the king of your life. And of course, as he did that, he gathered disciples to himself. And more people began to follow him until finally, at the very end of his ministry, just before he ascended into heaven, he turned them outward and he gave them his mission. He put the mission in their hands, and that's what we're going to read about right now. This is really going to be our theme verse for the year. This is taken from the very end of Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." I heard somebody once say, Jesus didn't tell his disciples to go to church, he told them to go into the world. And we sometimes, I think we get those two things turned around a little bit. And it's not that the church isn't important. The church is absolutely important. The church is, I kind of think of it as the incubator where our love for God grows and our love for neighbor grows. And so it's absolutely an essential part of the life of faith. But before people can have those relationships and know about that kind of love, first we have to reach them. And the place where we reach them is out there in the world, because that's where the need is. And it's not like people aren't looking for answers either. People are looking for answers in lots of places. You remember the old country song, I think it must have been from the 80s, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what people are doing. They're looking for meaning, they're looking for purpose, they're looking for love and contentment in things that will never provide those things for them. For instance, if you were to go out into the and not really know much about the world and went out in the world right now, I think you would probably come to the conclusion very quickly that all of the answers to life can be found in a screen of some kind, right? Phones, tablets, computers, game systems. I mean, they're everywhere, and they're handy. I mean, there's no question about it. I've been a computer geek for a long, long time. I love that I can just look something up on Google and get an answer just like that. Used to be my family, we could argue about a stupid fact for pretty much an entire day. We could sometimes stretch it out for a whole week. Not anymore. You know, somebody will pull out their phone and we'll have an answer immediately, so then we can go on arguing about something else. There's always going to be something to argue about. So you know, we can get our answers. I'm directionally challenged. Tammy will tell you that. If I can turn wrong, make a wrong turn, I will make a wrong turn. And so GPS has been really helpful to me. I can get pretty much anywhere now. Has it made me a better husband? Has it made me a better father? Has it made me a better pastor? Has it made me a better human being? Probably not. It's probably made me more distracted, if anything. Still love having it, but I'm not sure that's where the answers are going to be found. Another place where people seem to be finding a lot of identity is in their commitment to political ideologies right now. This has probably been true at other times too, but I especially see it now. With all of the enthusiasm and energy that people put into supporting their particular political party or tribe or candidate or whatever, you'd think that they were getting some kind of really big payback, wouldn't you? Must be getting something out of this. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the fruits of that. The people who have the loudest voices in the room when it comes to this stuff, they don't seem to have a surplus of meaning and purpose and contentment and peace, love. I'm not seeing that either. So I'm not sure that there are answers there, even though it seems like a lot of people are looking there for answers. And if we're another place, if we're lucky enough to call this country our home, then there's another favorite of most Americans, and that is consumption. We love to consume in this country. You know, what we want what we want it now, and we want it extra large, if possible. And so we're just sure that that peace and contentment and meaning are just a purchase away. If we can just make the purchase, it's going to happen. But of course, we never get there. We never get there because it's never enough. So I hope I haven't painted too bleak a picture. But that is the world into which Jesus calls us. That's the world into which he calls us. And that's why he said, the harvest is plentiful. The world is hungry for the very thing that we have to offer. The gospel is exactly the thing that the world needs. They just don't know it yet. The harvest is ready. It's ripe. It was then, it is today, but unfortunately, the laborers are few. Jesus also said that. I read somewhere a statistic somewhere that said that when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, within about 2 years, pretty much all of their relationships with people outside of the church have kind of fallen away. And I'm sure that's not true of everyone, but for the majority of people, that is the case. Those folks that they're friends with who are unchurched, that don't go to church, those relationships kind of disappear. And I can see how easily that can happen. As a pastor, I would say, you know, 99% of my relationships, if not all of them, on a day-to-day basis are with folks who have some connection to the church, which means I'm not out there in the harvest. You are. That makes your relationships so critical, because I and most pastors, we're not out there doing that. We have to rely on you. Jesus has to rely on you because you're on the front lines. I think Jesus knew what he was doing when he sent his disciples out into the world. I'm not much of a business guy, but I've always had a sense that he kind of understood marketing, right? If you've got a product of some kind, unless people know about it, unless people know how to get it and access it, where it is, what it is, then there's really no way for that product or that idea to be successful. With the Great Commission, which is what we just read in Matthew 28, Jesus was, I think, using one of the most successful models of marketing that has ever existed and ever will exist, and that is grassroots, one-on-one, one person telling another person about something really special that they're going to want to know about, that they're going to want to have in their lives. And we see that. We see companies using that now. As I was thinking about my sermon this week, it occurred to me that that there are a lot of companies out there. They're not using television commercials and some of these kind of big, broad approaches so much anymore. What they do is they use influencers. That's the word. They use movie actors and athletes, but I mean even a lot smaller than that too. If you've got 5,000 viewers on or followers on YouTube or something like that, you're an influencer. And so a company will pay you to use their makeup or wear their clothes or drink their liquor or whatever, so that they can get the word out there that this is if so and so's doing it, then maybe I should do it too. But here's the deal. You're an influencer. You're way more of an influencer than you realize. You have influence on the people in your life. And for good or bad, you have influence. And Jesus actually had a lot to say about this, about the influence that we have or that we should have in our lives. For instance, he said at one point, again in Matthew, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." And so what he was saying is that he understood that the world he's sending you into is not always going to be a hospitable, nice place. It could be a dangerous place. And he knows that going into it. But he's saying, be smart about how you do this. Be wise as serpents. Know everything you can about the world. Don't be offended. If you're offended by the world all the time, you're not going to be engaging people with the good news. I'm telling you that right now. Don't be offended, but know everything you can about the world, but keep your motives pure. That's the way to be an influencer, in a good way. He also said, be salt and light. What does salt and light do? It influences in its environment, right? A little bit of salt seasons the whole pot of stew. A little bit of light allows people to see in the darkness. It changes the environment that they're in. That's what they do. They influence the world around them. And of course, that's what we're called to do as well. We are called as disciples of Jesus to be influencers in the world, to be salt and light, to change the world, to be signs and the presence of God's grace and love. It's not even so much about what we do as it is about who we are. Jesus said, the very last thing he said before he ascended into heaven was the words that we just read from Matthew 28, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Now, most of the time when I hear preachers talk about this particular verse, the emphasis is on the go part. And so it almost comes off sounding like another item on your to-do list, like you need another item on your to-do list, right? So it's, for instance, it's like, you know, go and do your laundry, go and mow your yard, go and get your groceries, go and clean the house, go and make disciples. That's kind of how it sounds. It's like, okay, we gotta add this one more thing to my list. But as I was researching this week, I'm not big on the Greek, but what I understand is that if you were to really faithfully translate this verse, it really should read something like this: as you are going, make disciples. Do you see the difference? Not go and do this other thing. While you're going, while you're working, while you're going to school, while you're grocery shopping, while you're doing your laundry, while you're driving. A couple years ago, I left church, drove out of the parking lot, and I immediately ran into somebody who I had just seen in church. I don't think their eyesight was real good, because I don't think they knew it was me that they were gesturing to. I wasn't turning fast enough. I wasn't doing something that they wanted me to do. And so I can tell you, it wasn't the good news that they were sharing as they went that day. As you go, while you are doing other things, every moment is an opportunity to be an influencer for Jesus. Every moment is an opportunity to be salt and light, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, to make a difference in the world. And whatever you do, make sure that this one thing that brings meaning and purpose to your life is something that you share with others. Don't keep it to yourself. We tend to do that. This is kind of at a different level, but for a long time, when I would make a new friend, I would always be really hesitant to tell them about I have a folk singer. You've heard me talk about him before. His name is John Prine. Been a big, big fan for 30-some years now. And I'd make a new friend, and I'd be a little bit afraid to say anything to my other friend, to my new friend about it, because if they didn't like him, I didn't want to know that about them, right? So I know that's a little silly. It probably also, you're going to also think it's silly when you hear that when my daughter called here not too long ago and said that she was dating a boy who liked John Prine as much as I did, I was ready to schedule the wedding right then without even meeting him. I was in. I said, he can't be all bad if he likes John Prine, but we can't keep Jesus to ourselves. We can't keep that good news to ourselves. We have to share it. That's kind of the whole point of it. If people don't want to hear about it at that moment, that's okay. You don't have to keep throwing it at them, but certainly let them know how important it is in your life. Certainly let them know that this is something that brings peace and contentment and purpose and meaning to your life, that brings love to your life. And don't be afraid to share that. And if they don't want to hear it now, you hang in there with them. That's okay. Hang in there with them, because that's what we do as disciples. Be a witness as you go. It's not one more thing on our to-do list. It's who we are. And if you're having a problem with that, you might have a going problem. Okay, there was a commercial about that a couple years ago. Some of you may remember. It's a different kind of going, but in this case, you may have a going problem. And if you do, if you're having trouble wanting to share it or even imagining sharing that, you may need to go back and think about Dorotheus of Gaza's circle. Okay, go back to the beginning, reestablish that connection with God. Reestablish that connection with others in the community of faith. When you do that, everything else falls into place too. Everything else falls into place when those love relationships are where they're supposed to be. And as you go, the good news will go with you. See how that works? As you go, the good news will go with you. And as you go, just as Jesus promises in the Great Commission, He will go with you too. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let us pray. Lord, you have entered into our lives. You've entered into this community of faith. You've given us joy. You've given us peace and meaning and purpose in our lives. You've given us this love that we need to share, this good news. We pray that you would always be guiding us in ways that we might share that good news as we go. Bless us guide us and be with us as we continue in our worship this day, Lord. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.